All right, Padres fans, how about that? One game in and one win. And it was, you know, a pretty convincing win for the Padres. Yes, we are talking about a first spring training game. But after not seeing baseball for a very long time and not seeing the Padres score a run in the last 24 innings of the season last year, we saw them get a win and we saw them break that 24-inning scoreless streak with a Manny Machado home run in his first pitch of 2025. So we are going to be talking about this game today. Obviously, there's a lot to be taken from it, and we will go over all the different position battles. We'll go over some of the things that happened today with the pitching. But overall, I don't think the Padres could be, you know, ask for anything more in the opening game of spring training. I'm Matt Scravey. This is Gwynn and Chris. Chris is traveling with the Aztecs women's basketball team today, so he's not going to be in, but Tony is making his way back from the Peoria Sports Complex to his humble abode, and then he will join me there, or he will join me when he gets there, and we'll get some of his thoughts from the game today. And I think that, you know, there's the one thing that really came to mind when Manny hit that home run was me kind of laughing in my head, like, ha-ha, Dodgers fans that wanted to make fun of the Padres until they scored. Manny gave them no opportunity to make fun of the Padres. And he went, I mean, first pitch. And that's something that we have been talking about here leading up to this season, about Manny's health and about Manny's about his elbow and how he has been saying this entire time that he's feeling 100%. And I think he showed you why it's important for Manny Machado, even at 75%, I'll take that Manny Machado. But 100%, I mean, that's star stuff, and that's what Manny Machado is being paid to do. In fact, you know, Jesse Agler was, it was nice to hear Jesse and Tony on the radio. I'm looking forward to talking to Tony about that. But here is Jesse calling that Manny home run.
First pitch swinging, Manny in the air to deep center field. Rodriguez tracking it. He's at the wall looking up. It's going to go. First pitch of the spring to Manny Machado, a two-run home run.
Love it. I love it. I mean, you know, Manny never said one word last year, really, about his elbow not being 100% or how bad it actually hurt him to start the season. But as we all know, he was ahead of plan. We didn't expect him to even make his debut last year until further into the regular season. But he was there on day one, and you could tell that he struggled for the first 2-3 months of the season. But if this is the Manny Machado that we're going to get, and yes, I am very excited about a spring training home run. But I if you can't get excited about a spring training home run for Manny Machado, then I guess I can just call you a doomer. I don't know how you can really come away from this game today and feel anything other than, you know, anything other than happy and elated that this is the Padres we got in game number one. I thought about this all drive down from home. How excited do I really want to be about this? Because, yes, I understand this is the first spring training game of 2025, and nothing really matters in these games. But for me, I can take some things from today, and we're going to hear some of the audio from the players as we go along today. I know that Gavin Sheets spoke after his day with going 2-for-2 with an RBI and scoring a run. Did the Padres find a DH candidate right there with Gavin Sheets? We talked about him a little bit. We didn't really know what he was going to do for the Padres, but we knew he had some power. We knew he had consistent power in the limited time he has, the opportunities that he's had. So maybe Gavin Sheets is someone that we could count on for a DH. We'll get into the audio with him a little bit later. Eggy Rosario, interesting that he got the start at second today, because it was really talked about Eggy being in there as a left fielder or trying to make the team as a left fielder, but putting him at second does open up some other things. I mean, there are so many different lineup combinations that you can have if Eggy Rosario is going to be able to play second base here and there. And he showed his power today. He's going to get a look in left field and apparently at second base. He was 1-for-2 with an RBI, a walk, a run, and a strikeout. Connor Joe made his Padres debut. Two walks and a run for Connor Joe, Tirso Ornelas. And let me just say, I feel bad when I pronounce guys' names wrong. And I try to get it right. It's not on purpose that I pronounce their names wrong. But it's not Tirso, as I have been saying. It's Tirso. So I'm sorry to Tirso. But he got the start and left today. He went 1-for-3 with a walk. And Padres pitching, I mean, I didn't expect them to throw a gem as they did today, and I think it's even harder in the first game of spring training to throw as well as they did. If we're on Mariners radio today, am I dooming Mariners radio? I don't know. I wouldn't be happy after taking the air after my Mariners team looked like that today. Through five innings, Padres pitching had not allowed a hit, and the end right there was a home run in the ninth inning, which, you know, is whatever. Padres win 5-2. Most of the game was pitched very, very well. Berger, who started the game, he went one inning, gave up nothing. Gillespie, he struck out a batter, went one inning, didn't give up a hit. Now, Tom Cosgrove, I want to ask Tony about Tom Cosgrove, because my question is, what really happened to Tom Cosgrove? 2 years ago, he was one of the guys that you were looking forward to coming out of the bullpen in certain matchups. But the beginning of last year, he struggled. And then this year, it looked like in the limited time he had today, he wasn't great. He gave up a run and he walked a batter as well. But I want to know what happened to Tom Cosgrove. I liked when Tom Cosgrove came into the game. So hopefully he can figure it out at a certain point. Drew Pomerantz, by the way, I see that on the chat. I honestly didn't even know Drew Pomerantz was still in the league, but he's with the Mariners now. Not the Padres' problem anymore. He gave up two hits in his outing today in an inning and struck out a batter. But overall, there's nothing for us to really complain about. Some of the big stars, you know, they didn't get to see time today. Luis Arraez, Xander Bogaerts, Campusano, Jake Cronenworth, Fernando. But you did see Manny Machado hit a home run, and you saw a lot of good baseball today. You got a couple, you got some answers for what we're kind of looking at here in 2025. You got some early, very, very, very early indications of what the Padres are trying to accomplish here in spring training and finding out what kind of combinations that they want to use during the season. But Tyler makes a good point on the YouTube chat. By the way, you could watch on YouTube. Just search 97.3 The Fan. You could also watch on Facebook, 97.3 The Fan. But Tyler said Mariners also had more of their starters' stars in the lineup for the first few innings. And that's absolutely true. Julio Rodriguez, one of the best players in baseball. Center fielder, 0-for-2. Cal Raleigh, one of the best hitting catchers in baseball. Where'd he go? There he is. 0-for-2. J.P. Crawford, he went 0-for-1. He did have an RBI, but they threw out Rosarena. That's the last one I was looking for there. I knew there was one more that I needed to hit on, and he went 0-for-2 with a strikeout. So, I mean, there is 100% good vibes in this studio. I know that when Tony gets here and I say, Tony, they won? This season is going to be great? He's going to be like, it's great. First game of spring training, bro. First game of spring training. And yes, I understand that, everybody. I understand it's the first game of spring training, but you're going to get a happy guy today because we don't have to talk about the Mariners getting like two hit in their first game. They scored two runs and they only had two hits. So everything went really, really well today. Nick DiNucci is helping me in studio. Hold up that sign one more time, Nick. Let me see what you got going on there, because Nick is helping me produce. Okay, so you got some pitching sound. Let's go to the top of the fourth inning and hear what Padres pitching sounded like.
Check swing, doesn't matter. Strike three called on the outside corner, and a very impressive 1-2-3, two strikeout fourth inning for Bradley Rodriguez.
So there you go. Bradley Rodriguez? Yes, I heard that correctly. And then one more highlight today from Jesse Agler.
I never thought it. Grounder to first. Brooks has got it. Brings it himself. And another 1-2-3 inning for Padre pitching. They have been outstanding here this afternoon. This time it is Edwardiel Nunez.
That's the one thing about spring training that's very difficult is there are a lot of guys on this team that I have never heard of before. And there are a lot of guys that are getting opportunities on this team. But it's a lot of these guys we're not going to talk a lot about for the season. They're basically just kind of showing what they can do. Now, one other player that honestly we did not talk about once, at least I didn't talk about this player during the lead up to the season, Oscar Gonzalez starts in right field. Now, I think that he is a candidate for. I don't think he's a candidate for like a starting position. Obviously, right field is kind of filled right now with the, you know, Fernando Tatis Jr. But he went 2-for-3 today, and I had never heard of him before, which could be because, you know, maybe I should do more reading on Oscar Gonzalez, and I probably will do more reading on him. I'm going to ask Tony what he knows about Oscar Gonzalez, but he's 27 years old. He has 535 career at-bats with the Guardians. So he has big league experience, and he just came over here. He hit 296 in 91 games in 2022 for the Guardians. 11 home runs, 43 RBIs, 788. Okay, I need to look into this a little bit more because I think Oscar Gonzalez, he's jumping out at me right now as someone that I maybe should have probably paid attention to a little bit more in the offseason. Last year, he did not play last year with the Guardians. In 2023 was his last full year. He played 54 games, hit .214. So 2022 is a sign of things that he can do, which is 11 home runs, 43 RBIs, .296 batting average, .788 OPS in 91 games. That's not bad. That is not bad at all. What do you all want to talk about out there? Give us a call, 833-288-0973. We'll try and fit you in if you had any questions or anything like that. And if you also are wanting to ask a question, you can do so on the YouTube chat. Just go 97.3 The Fan on YouTube, or search 97.3 The Fan on YouTube. What else can we talk about from this game? You know, actually, the automated balls and strikes system was used today, and I thought it was really funny that when I was driving down, Jesse and Tony were talking about the automated balls and strikes system, and Tony said, there is absolutely only one guy on the team that should not challenge a ball or a strike, and that's a pitcher. And that makes so much sense, because how many times do you think a pitcher is going to be like, that was actually a strike, they're going to use the challenge, and then they're going to waste that challenge? And I thought it was funny that they, in the minor leagues, they tell pitchers they're not allowed to challenge at all. So I don't know how much we're going to see this in spring training. Obviously, like, and I know it's not going to be a part of this season, but it feels like it is going to be a part of the season. I know that they have to test it out. I know that they have to work out the kinks and stuff before we get into the regular season. But I really like what I'm seeing from this challenge system. I don't mind it. Hopefully they could. They're not going to bring it in this year. I was going to say maybe they'll bring it in this year, but they're not going to just bring it in this year. Let's see who's calling who a Hall of Famer on the, Brandon said, I'm going to go out on the limb. That Machado guy that homered today, I think he makes the team. He looks like a special player. Yeah. I agree.
Quick tidbit, if I may.
Yes.
The pitching thing is like Waymo. Like, it seems like good and conceptual.
What's
like,
Waymo?
Waymo is like the driverless car.
Oh,
and it's so early in development. I like the concept of it, but it's like, is it really quite ready to be used by the masses in high leverage situations?
Okay.
I am not so sure.
All right. That was a great pop in, Nick. Honestly, like, I hadn't thought about it like that, because I think in San Francisco, a Waymo car ended up like driving in circles in a parking lot and all the alarms went off. So I guess it's not ready for the masses. And that's a really good point, Nick. It is not ready for the masses. The ABS, not ready. Tyler says, I will say it kind of took the steam out of the final strike call, but at least it was upheld. Yeah, that was strange how the end of the game ended on a ABS challenge. Wow, that was quick. 15, 20 minutes. Wow, jeez. All right, when we get back, we're going to check in on Tony. We're also going to talk a little bit more about the ABS system. And if you have anything you want to talk about, give us a call. 833-288-0973. Matt Scraby filling in for Gwynn and Chris until Tony gets here in about 15, 20 minutes on 97.3 The Fan. Well, it's going to be Matt Scraby for a little bit longer until Tony Gwynn Jr. snakes his way through traffic. He actually sent me a picture of where he's at in the parking lot. I feel like Tony and Chris think I don't believe them sometimes when they tell me things because, like, they always send pictures to, like, prove. And I'm not that mean of a person. I'm not that mean of a person at all. But Tony sent me this picture that I'm showing on the stream right now. And it's of him in a long, long line of cars waiting to get out. So he is making his way as fast as possible. Lots of people at the Peoria Sports Complex today because of the first game of the year. The Padres beat the Mariners 5-2 in an otherwise amazing game for the Padres to start off 2025. You can't ask for anything more. You heard Chris in the open saying E-Guy. I don't think that you can forget that his name is Eggy anymore because Eggy's made some strides towards being a more regular part of this team. And we saw last year some glimpses of Eggy being able to hit for power. And Eggy, if he's able to play multiple positions, I think some of these fringe guys on the roster, I think, like, those guys are the ones that need to be able to play anywhere they ask them to, you know, within reason, I guess. But those guys are the ones, like, it makes it here. Here's what I'm trying to say. In radio, the way I got into radio, and yes, I'm comparing myself to Eggy real quick, but the way I got myself into radio was to volunteer for each and everything that was out there. It didn't matter what it was. Was it news? Volunteer. Was it overnights? Volunteer. So when they later down the road needed someone, they knew I could handle everything. Same goes for these guys. Tyler Wade could play almost every position. Eggy seems like he could play multiple positions. Connor Joe can play multiple positions. Luis Arraez can play multiple positions. Jake Cronenworth could play multiple positions. Xander Bogaerts, do I need to keep going? Manny Machado, if he wanted to. Jackson Merrill, Fernando Tatis Jr. This entire team is filled with guys that can play multiple positions. Now, you're not going to move some of these guys around. You're not going to move Manny from third. You're not going to move Xander from shortstop anymore. You're not going to move Fernando from right field. You're not going to move Jackson Merrill from center. But some of these other guys can make the team by doing things that the other players can't do. You got to make yourself as available as possible. I remember being told that like third day of my radio career, and it never left me. And I'm sitting here now because of it. I'm here with Nick DiNucci, by the way. I've been asked about that. So Nick is helping me out until Tony gets here. And we're going to talk about Gavin Sheets because we weren't really sure about the DH situation with the Padres. Is DH going to be an issue for the Padres? Is Luis Arraez going to be a full-time DH? No, the answer is no. If Gavin Sheets keeps doing what he did today, then I think he's going to make a really good case to make this team as the DH. He went 2-for-2 with an RBI and a run today. And after the game, Sammy Lev caught up with him, and he was asked just about his debut and how he feels.
Oh, it's always great. You know, any day like that, just come out and swing the bat well. And, you know, especially first day in a new uniform with these guys and coming out and feeding off the energy and having a good first day.
With what you have been focusing on, did this feel representative of what you're trying to show?
Absolutely. You know, I feel good about the adjustments I made this offseason. I love the work that I put in here with the new coaching staff and, you know, just getting their ideas of what they see and what they've seen over the past. And the hitter I can get back to being. And so coming out today and seeing it flourish in the game is always nice.
You had a hit down the right field line, hit to left center. Was it nice day one to have one of those going the other way?
Absolutely. You know, you get both of them. You swing at the right pitches today. I mean, obviously it's early, and you know, you just want to be on time and swing at the right pitches. But more importantly, it's just fun to be out there with these guys. I mean, there's an awesome energy here. The vibe and the culture here is just something I want to be part of.
Yeah, Mike said earlier that it seems like you really like being here. What stood out about this place in particular so far?
I do. I've really, really enjoyed my time here. Just the culture that's here, the winning atmosphere, is something I want to be a part of and something that drew me here. You know, I knew what the expectations were coming here. I want to be a part of this team. I want to be a part of getting back to winning baseball, and this is the perfect fit.
What can you tell us are some of those things that they were emphasizing that you are working on this spring?
Just the small details. You know, how to win a World Series. You know, how are we going to win a World Series? And it takes everybody in the clubhouse. And that's what we're doing, just the smallest details possible, you know, from base running to base leads to just all the small things that sometimes get left behind. That's what we focus on here. And, you know, it's just a great winning culture.
So then for yourself at the plate, like, what are those small details? You mentioned, like, things you're trying to work on this spring, things at the coaching staff.
Yeah, so just some small mechanic stuff. You know, a little bit of approach stuff and more mechanic stuff. You know, staying taller on my backside and getting back to some things that I had a lot of success with early in my career, and some things I got away from a little bit recently, and getting back to that and getting these guys ideas and just testing myself.
There you go. That's Gavin Sheets talking with the media. You heard our guy Sammy Lev. You heard Kevin Acey. You heard AJ Cassavell. And Gavin Sheets, do you think he's a happy guy? He played for the White Sox for the last 3 years. I mean, I don't know how much more depressing it can get to be a player, because they lost a lot of games last year. And sometimes things like this are good for a guy like Gavin Sheets, who, you know, didn't really find his spot on the White Sox. I think there's a lot of turnover on the White Sox, and so that's probably why he never really caught on. But guys like Gavin Sheets appreciate opportunities that are being given to them with a team that's really good. And that's what he is hoping the Padres are this year. He hopes that they are good, because he has been on one of the worst teams in baseball history. And that's not me joking around. That's actual facts about the White Sox. Today, Gavin Sheets, his exit velocity on his double was 103.9. And his other double earlier in the game was 105.6. So this dude is hitting the ball very, very, very hard. Both of his doubles were over 100 and, you know, 4 miles an hour, or 103 miles an hour off the bat. The top exit velocities of the day, Gavin Sheets is fifth. J.P. Crawford actually was the number one exit velocity of the day, 110.1. Brandon Lockridge, who is also another guy who we saw a little bit last year, he's still fighting for a spot on this team. He went 108.7. Manny Machado, 108.6. And then that Oscar Gonzalez guy that I probably should have paid more attention to in the offseason, 108.4. All right. If, you know what? Let's hear from one of those Gavin Sheets doubles.
2-1 to Sheets. Hard hit in the air center field. Rodriguez going back a little bit towards left center on the move of the wall, and it hits up against the paddock. Joe's being waved around third. Crawford's relay to the plate, not in time. RBI double Gavin Sheets, his second two-bagger of the day, and the Padre lead is 4-1.
There's not much analysis for me to do right there. It was just a really good hit for him, a really hard hit for him. And I think that Gavin Sheets is going to hopefully, what's the phrase I'm looking for? Take the bull by the horns and force his way onto this team. Jocelyn is saying that she appreciates Nick is writing me notes on the whiteboard, and you could see this on YouTube, that's why I'm bringing it up, but he writes me notes on the whiteboard. Jocelyn says, usually Scraby just fist pumps really hard at Tony or Ella, which is true. I usually do that. I'm like, guys, go to break. But actually, we've been really good on the breaks lately. If you're just tuning in, Tony is making his way back from the Peoria Sports Complex, and Chris is traveling with the Aztecs women's basketball team today. So I will be with you until Tony gets here, and then it will be Tony and I. And then, yes, we do have a Scraby show at 6 p.m. tonight. Now, Xander Bogaerts didn't get in the game today, but we're going to talk about this when Tony actually, when Tony gets here. Olney, or as Chris says, Buster Polney, is he ranked the top 10 shortstops today. And you would think, is Xander a part of the top 10 shortstops? Well, I'm going to spoil it for you. And since Chris isn't here, I have to make his joke that he makes every time. He had to pay for this article. No, Xander Bogaerts did not make the top 10 shortstops in baseball right now. Not only that, he didn't even make honorable mentions for top shortstops. Now, am I angry at Buster Olney because of this? Do I think he's stupid because of this? No, I don't. I mean, we've all seen what Xander Bogaerts has brought forth in the last couple years. And if he wasn't a superstar that was being paid a lot of money coming into San Diego, I think he would be, you know, just he would be a player that we wouldn't be so mad at. But there's a lot of motivation for Xander this year. And we're going to talk about, in the Scraby Show at least, some of the things that he's been doing in the offseason, which is really working hard on his game. I think the last couple years have maybe gotten to Xander a little bit in this way. Like, he's always been a superstar. And everything has been, I'm not going to say easy for him, but everything has just, everything has been a lot. Okay, I'll just use easier because I can't think of another word. But Xander Bogaerts came to San Diego and he struggled and he's had injuries. And so that's not something that he is used to in his career. He's not someone who has missed a lot of time before. When he was with the Red Sox, he was a powerhouse, and he led them to a World Series title. This year, I do think, because of the last couple years, that Xander Bogaerts has a little bit more motivation to get back to being named one of the best shortstops in baseball. And when you look at the list that Buster Olney put together, you are going to see a lot of guys that I think Xander Bogaerts could pass. Now, his number one shortstop, Buster Olney, is Bobby Witt Jr. Then you got Mookie, Gunnar Henderson, Corey Seager, Lindor, Ellie De La Cruz, Trey Turner, Willie Adames, Carlos Correa, Dansby Swanson. Then the honorable mentions, Ezekiel Tovar of the Rockies, Mason Winn of the Cardinals, Zach Neto for the Angels, and Jeremy Pena for the Astros. All of those are younger guys, but I think that Carlos Correa could be... I think Xander could be better than Carlos Correa this year. I think Xander could be better than Trey Turner this year. Trey Turner, you know, Trey Turner is tough to overcome, but I do think Xander can get himself back on this list at a certain point this season. Someone should send this list to him and tell him, you know, hey, Xander, you're not a top 10 shortstop according to Buster Olney.
Quick fun fact, if I may.
A fun fact, okay.
I did not know this until I Googled Gavin Sheets. He is actually from the same hometown I am from, which is a place called Timonium, or also Lutherville, Maryland. So, and I'm just mentioning that a few people in the chat are like, who is this strange man in the other seat? So,
well, that was not a fun fact. That was more of a... You should have seen Nick's face.
Your deadpan is good.
Where is he from?
It's a place called Timonium. Also,
Timonium?
Like,
it sounds like something that goes in a nuclear weapon.
No, yeah. It's also hyphenated with Lutherville, or Lutherville could be the first name of it. It just depends.
But
it's
East Coast cities are so confusing.
It is. He actually went to Gilman as well, if you've ever heard of Gilman.
I've never heard of Gilman.
It's like a private high school, but he obviously went to Wake Forest for college.
Okay.
So, interesting.
All right, we're learning new stuff about Gavin Sheets. Now, whenever Nick goes and sees Gavin Sheets, he can be like, hey, we're from Titanium Town. Or what is it? Aluminium and them?
It's Timonium. I can spell
Timonium,
it. T-I-M-O-N-I-U-M. It is a funny name. Having grown up there. Like, I was born in Towson, which is right near it.
I've heard of that.
Timonium is very... It is funnily... sounds funny when you're hearing it for the first time.
It does. It does. Nick is from... That's actually the Baltimore, Maryland area for everybody out there. Nick is from Baltimore. All right. It's time to go to break. I went a little too long. I am going to slap myself for that in the break. But when we get back, we'll see where Tony is. We'll also hear some more audio from the post game. And you're here with Scraby and Nick DiNucci filling in for Gwynn and Chris here on 97.3 The Fan. Celebrating like the Padres have won a World Series. I'm just kidding. We're not. I'm only saying that because Tony has just joined us from Peoria. And I know Tony is going to temper my excitement. Hello, Tony. How was your first game back?
It was fun. It was fun. It was it's good to be back calling baseball games again. And it helped that the boys played well in the first game. A lot of good things to see. And I already knew, without even having heard a word of this show, that you were jumping off and out of windows because of how well they did today.
I'm telling you one thing, Tony. I said, yes, this is the first game of spring training. Yes, it absolutely means nothing in the scheme of things. But did it feel good to see Manny Machado hit a home run in the first inning on his first pitch of spring training? Absolutely it did.
Did it feel any different when he hit his first one last year? I mean, I think it always feels good when he homers, or anybody homers, but especially him. I hope this is indicative of what we'll see all season. If it is, great. This is going to be a terrific 2025 season. I can guarantee that. If this is indicative of what we see all season long.
Now, I'm curious on the Mariners side. Because you put it in perspective all the time. Are they leaving that game like, ugh, that stunk? Like,
no.
Okay. No. I figured that was the answer.
In the same way, nobody on the Padres side is like, oh, yes, we came out and we just...
They smoked the Mariners, guys.
Yeah, no, nah, they're not tripping about it. They're not even thinking about a win or a loss. Everybody to a man is most likely, all right, I took steps into getting to be the version of myself that I want to be come regular season time, especially this early. Everybody's, I mean, Manny saw two pitches today.
That's true.
And he homered on one and hit a lined out to right on the other. On the flip side, Ethan Salas, I think, only swung the bat four times out of all of the pitches he saw in his, you know, couple ABs. Mm-hmm. And he saw a lot of them. Everybody's working on different things right now. And so, you know, it's good for me. What was impressive, because I got a chance, not really impressive, but exciting, is because I got a chance to see, I actually stayed with Manny's group today. It was Manny, Bogey, Luis Arraez, and Yuri Gurriel. They were in a group together. And I watched them today. Yesterday I watched some of the guys like Jason Hayward. I watched him yesterday. I watched Connor Joe. And so today I watched the big dogs. And the exciting thing was exactly what I saw from Manny and BP was exactly the two swings he took in the game. So, you know, at this point he's able to carry it from where he went from BP right into the game. And literally identical balls he hit in batting practice was like the first and second one he hit today. So that was exciting, but that's, you know, very rarely is spring training indicative of what happens during the season, good or bad.
Can I, is it safe to say that Manny showed us today what 100% looks like for Manny?
Yeah, today he did. Sure.
Okay, good. Good. Well, his elbow last year was a big
problem. If he's still 100%.
He never told us, his elbow was a problem last year.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, listen, this is the fact that he brought it up, that he was healthy, 100% healthy, I think that means something. Like, he doesn't discuss his, you know, percentage, what he is. he doesn't even acknowledge that he's hurt most of the time, all the time. But the mere fact that he brought that up unsolicited, I think that tells you how healthy he feels, how good he feels right now.
What did you think of Gavin Sheets today, going 2-for-2, both of hard hit doubles? What did you think of him?
I think what you want to see in spring is a healthy competition.
Yeah.
You want there to be multiple options, multiple guys. You want that to be a tough decision, right? And I think the thing that stood out for me with Sheets was, first at bat was lefty on lefty when he doubled. And then he showed that, you know, he can go the other way. I mean, he can pull a ball into, and not even pull a ball, but drive a ball in the left center field gap as well. So, two good at-bees. I mean, this is ideally when you have a first spring training game, you'd love to have two doubles to start the spring training schedule off.
Yeah, right before you jumped on, I was saying that Gavin Sheets has spent the last three seasons with the White Sox. I mean, it can't get any worse. So an opportunity with the Padres, he's taking full advantage through one game so far. Mike Schilt talked after the game to the media, and here is Mike Schilt just giving his overall thoughts on what happened today.
Mike, in a camp that has a lot of open competition, seemed like a pretty good first day with a lot of guys contributing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, really liked, well played all phases, you know, the pitching, strikes, guys were going at people. Berger set the tone, really nice job on his part. Loved the approach. Of course, Manny, the big two-run homer, but you know, Sheets with a double, using a big part of the field for the other double, and Rosario drove a ball, Brousseau drove a ball. A lot of really, really good stuff.
Manny, I mean, we've talked a lot about his health. The fact that he comes out and does that on day one, I know it is just spring training, but like, what can this level of build-up with health for him do for the season?
Yeah, you know, we do talk about it a fair amount internally. You know, if we can just go out and take advantage of every opportunity, and we've got the ability we have, and don't give anything away, We're really tough, you know, and Manny healthy is clearly a good sign. It's a good sign for a first swing to be able to get that nice, easy stroke into center field for a two-run homer.
Your impression of Bradley Rodriguez?
I liked all the guys that came out of the pen. There were some arms, but, you know, Bradley, that was really nice. You know, came in, aggressive body action, you know, stuff comes out, crisp, later slider. I thought it was really, really crisp.
You elucidated a lot of interesting things that you look at mm-hmm. when you're evaluating competition, but coming through in a game like Sheets did, especially going down the right field, that does help, right?
Absolutely helps. Yeah, I mean, we're not going to kid ourselves. You know, it is result-oriented, but if he'd have bowled, you know, squared up two balls and hit bullets right at people, we'd have gone, okay, good at bats. But left-handed, boom, down the line, stayed on the ball in the left center. So, no, clearly, you know, the production does help.
Kind of strange to end a game like that?
Yeah, I was like, shake hand, don't shake hand. Well, you got nothing to lose, right? Might as well, I guess. But yeah, it was like, oh, crap. Okay, strike. But yeah, weird, different.
All right, that was Mike Schilt post game with the media. Tony, that was kind of weird at the end of the game. It was very anticlimactic.
Yeah, it's going to mess up a bunch of calls at the end of the year.
Oh, you know, you mean like radio calls?
Radio calls, TV calls.
Yeah, that's true.
Because ultimately, as I mean, it is going to be, what do you have to lose, right? I mean, why not challenge it? If you got one and it's the last out of the game, yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of that. So it's going to throw off a bunch of calls moving forward.
I love it.
It's not going to be can't do anything cool on a close one because they got a challenge left. Guess what? They're going to challenge it.
Now it's just going to be silence until they figure it out.
Right.
We're going to have to cut it all
That's
out.
Exactly how they're going to play it.
I guess that is kind of like the most dramatic way to end a game, is everybody has to wait for the ball strike call to come in, and they're all staring at the screen. All right, we're going to head to break, Tony. We're going to get our bearings, and when we get back, we have some more Padres stuff. Obviously, we'll talk more about the game. We're going to talk about this Buster-only top 10 shortstops and baseball list. Also, we have some prizes to give away. The Big Five, possibly a countdown. Tony and I will get all this straightened out here in the break on 97.3 The Fan.
Ben and Woods.
Back here on Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. Trying to do a couple things at once right now. Trying to get back from break on the YouTube. Tony Gwynn Jr. is in Peoria right now.
You know, Scrape, you could have just, you know.
I know. I realized that as I was doing it.
Bring us back.
Yep. I realized that just, as I was doing it.
You could have did what you needed to do.
I realized this as I was doing it, Tony. I'm like, oh, gosh.
I don't know if you know this, but I've been on a radio show myself for a little bit of time.
That's not
true. I might have been able to help with that.
That's not true. That's not true. If you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine. In Coronado or La Jolla for dining or takeout options, visit spiroscuisine.com. We're going to get some traffic, and then Tony's going to give us some thoughts from the spring training game today.
Welcome back, Gwen and Chris. Rolling through this Friday afternoon. That's right. The weekend is right around the corner. Tony Gwynn Jr., Matthew Scraby. And, Scraby, I assume you talked a little bit about, your thoughts on the game. I'm sure you've.
I was over the moon, Tony. Yep, they were. I was elated for everything that happened today. I honestly was looking forward to hearing what you had to say about the position battles, because I know it's early in camp, but if this is the type of competition that they're going to have all year or all spring training, this is good stuff.
It definitely bodes well. I think one of the things that AJ tried to do here is create that competition. You didn't have a lot of it because you didn't have guys. You didn't have enough guys for there to be a legitimate competition. And so now you have that. Today you got a chance to see Tirso out there a little bit and left. You got to see who else did you get to see today? You got to see Gavin Sheets, you know, and
Connor Joe.
Connor Joe got to swing the bat a little bit. And so the competition begins. Now, I don't know if you got a chance to hear Schilte talk about it yesterday, but, you know, in these first, you know, game or two, they're not counting it towards competition yet. You know, everybody, you're giving guys the grace to kind of get their feet under them a little bit before, you know, the competition light really gets going. But, you know, ultimately being able to, you know, get off to a good start is the name of the game. Gavin Sheets did that, got off to a good start. Mike Brosso had himself a knock when he came in to the ball game. So, you know, these guys are, you know, trying to establish themselves. And I thought pretty much everybody to a man got off to a good start today. I thought Ethan Salas is at two ABs. I thought those were really, really telling in what he's trying to do. He's always, you know, even in the previous years, he's always looks like somebody who understood the strike zone. But I felt like in the previous camps, he was overmatched. Today, it didn't seem like that. Today, he was commanding those at-bats with, I think he walked once. He ended up coming off a hanging breaking ball after a good battle. I see the progress. He had some success in the fall league over the off season. Who else? The whole pitching staff. Everybody.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Everybody threw the ball really well. Logan Gillespie was good. I liked Rodriguez. Bradgley. I think it is, right?
Mike Schilt just said, I'll have to go listen to it in the break, but we'll need to learn his name. So
we're gonna get that. We're gonna get that one down. We'll get that one down. Eggie had himself some good at bats today. He had himself a double.
Tirso.
Back to the pitchers. I mean, but back to the pitch. Yeah, Tirso as well. He had himself. He was the only one that played all game. You know, he got four at bats in there. So I just think that there was a lot of good. Everybody who wanted to get off to a good start, for the most part, or feels like they're needed to in terms of the competition, they all pretty much had good days. Not a lot to be disappointed in, for
Man,
sure.
Man, Tony, why didn't they have like something happen during the game that we could like be worried about or something? The game went so well that we can't be worried about anything after.
Dog, why are you? Everybody spent the whole offseason worrying.
I know.
We got to go back to that already.
I'm feeling a lot better about the team. A lot better. Like, I don't know. Nothing really changed outside of from Nick Pivetta on. Nothing changed, but all of a sudden, I'm seeing this go down. I'm feeling better about the guys that they brought in.
I gotta make my way to meet Nick. I've seen him a few times walking by. He seemed to be kind of busy at those times. So,
new guys usually have to talk to everyone.
They do, and I'm sure he's probably tired of talking. So that's why I kind of left him alone.
See, that's where Tony goes. That's where he goes. Right? He knows. He knows to just keep his distance for a little bit, and then he'll make his way in with Nick Pivetta.
Hey, you gotta. You gotta kind of finesse these type of situations a little bit.
Yeah. All right. So let's see. Oh yeah, ESPN Buster Olney.
Yes.
Shortstop. I already kind of mentioned it a little bit.
For the record, I haven't looked at this yet. I'm about to pull it open now.
Okay.
See what's talking about. What caught your eye about it?
Well, what caught my eye is that Xander Bogaerts isn't even on the list, nor the honorable mention list. And I said this earlier. Today, you know, I didn't expect him to be, but I didn't think that he would be so far gone from the list. I thought honorable mention would have been a nice one for him.
Okay, so I guess the question is do you think Xander is a top, based on the last year, I would assume, right? This is based off, or last couple of years. Do you think he's a top 14 shortstop?
No. Okay, so
why would you think he's going to be an honorable mention then?
Because of the pedigree. Because of the numbers that he has behind him traditionally. I mean, ever since he became a Padre, he hasn't reached those types of numbers. But I think this year will probably be good for him. I was reading a lot about Xander Bogaerts and how he, in the offseason, he said he ran a lot. And he did different things.
He looks phenomenal.
He does? That's what he was saying.
He looks really good.
He's definitely, like, done something different this offseason to have a better year, and if they can unlock Xander, that's just icing on the cake. But yeah, so I don't think you're right. I don't think he's a top 14 shortstop, but I don't know if Mookie Betts deserves to be on the shortstop list because he's not traditionally a shortstop and he's moving there this year. But I believe I'm having trouble logging into ESPN Plus, you know, where Chris says you have to pay for it. I believe he's either second or third on the list of shortstops.
Who? He's second.
Mookie's second. There you are. You're on the camera now. There he is. Just search 97.3 The Fan in the YouTube. He's second.
Okay. And you don't think he should be second. Where do you think he should be?
Not on the list. He didn't play shortstop last year.
You don't think he should be on the list?
Are we doing this list based off of what happened last year, or are we doing this list based off of a popularity contest?
Remember, Manny was, what, fifth on the list yesterday?
Yeah, fourth.
And there were some people, and there were some people ahead of him that we felt like, well, what is it? So it has nothing to, I don't think this has anything to do with defense per se or where you played. It's the position you're playing going into this season and the type of overall player you are. That's how I'm reading this list.
All right. Well, then if that's the case, then that makes sense that Mookie is there.
Yeah, I think that's why he is there. I mean, you think Bobby Wood Jr., Mookie Betts, Gunnar Henderson, Corey Seager, Francisco Lindor, Elly De La Cruz, who made a billion errors over at shortstop last year.
I do know that.
Trey Turner, Willie Adames, Carlos Correa, Dansby Swanson. Honorable mention, Ezekiel Tovar, Mason Wynn, the Angel Zach Neto, and Jeremy Pena of the Astros.
That's a pretty tough list to crack.
It's a tough list right now, and that's all of baseball. It's not just National League shortstop. And to be fair, if your argument is that Mookie Betts didn't play shortstop last year, you can make the same argument for Xander. He didn't play shortstop until Kim got hurt. So
yeah,
I guess
true.
He played, but he didn't play a lot of games over there.
That is true.
I tell you what, I will, that's another thing I did notice. Xander, I don't know if it's because he ran so much, he's moving well over at short.
I mean, that stuff, you know, bad years as a professional athlete, Tony, you could say, bad years really motivate people to get better if you want to get better.
I mean, no one likes to be embarrassed. No one wants to. There's no bigger critic to Xander than himself, I'm sure. No matter what anybody else has to say, I'm sure he's hardest on himself. And, you know, that is, you know, what makes an athlete tick is, you know, their ability to respond when it's not, when it hasn't been going right.
Yeah, that's what makes us different. Because I just like...
you fold like a lawn chair? Is that
I don't fold like a lawn chair, but as we all know from the Dylan Cease thing that happened at FanFest, I definitely panic and freak out real quick. Yeah, I do that for sure. We're going to talk about the Yankees beard thing in the Big Five because that has changed. But I wanted to ask you about the ABS system that you saw today, and mostly like... You guys were talking about, which you and Jesse were great today, the gravity conversation was amazing. I mean, This is, you guys are my type of show. I call you a show because you guys are a show during a baseball game. But Jesse figured out somehow, I didn't catch the first part, but Seattle has less gravity than Miami does, which is insane to me.
Well, I think he was saying the closer or the further away you are from the equator, the more gravity is. And he was saying that Seattle and Miami are the furthest north and furthest south. And so, you know, that's how the conversation got rolling. We're talking about, I didn't know where he was going there for a minute, but you know,
Seattle has more gravity, Tyler.
I was able to participate. At least a little bit.
Well, when he got into gravity, I was like, "Uh-oh, I'm in trouble because I'm trying to follow something that's like physics, and we all know about physics."
That is what you may get during a spring training broadcast.
My favorite, I think, from last year was when you guys had the whole conversation about Star Wars and no one knew anything about Star Wars. Like, you guys were like, I don't even know what movie to start with.
That wasn't Jesse and I's thing during our era.
No. It was a little bit before you guys' era, just a tiny bit.
A tiny bit. My brother-in-law is like, loves Star Wars.
Really?
Yes, big time. And I can't participate. Like, I just, sorry, man. I don't even know what I'm looking at right now.
I don't even know what I'm looking at right now. Well, whatever. But the ABS system, I was telling Nick earlier that it feels like this is going to be a part of the season. It's not. Is that going to be weird for players, or are they just really just experimenting with this whole thing, this entire spring training?
The players don't care. I think they ultimately are going to do what they're asked to do, but they will forget about ABS pretty quickly once the season starts. But, eventually, there's a reason why we're seeing it. Eventually, it's going to be a part of the whole thing. And so I think it's good theatrics, man. It really is. Like, everybody, like, look at the board. Like, we're all watching as the ball comes in. Oh, 6 inches below, it is a ball. Like, it's good theatrics. Jesse and I were messing around before the game. We were determined, or we were positive that there would be two challenges, like, pretty quick. We thought Manny would be the one that made the both challenges too, but it turned out he was swinging. He wasn't worried about any challenges.
Yeah, he wasn't at all. So there you go. I mean, today's game.
I said this to Jesse on air too. I said I do think the umpires are going to relish the moments when their call is like right. Especially the two calls today were close. I mean, he called a ball on a pitch that was, according to the thing, was 0.06 inches below the zone.
That's crazy.
And, like, my man challenged it. I know if it was me and it challenged my call and I look up and I'm like, I'm that good. It was, like, that close and I still got it right. Oh, I'm definitely going to, like, talk some, you know what.
Trash. You have to. Because everybody always trash talks the umpires.
Are you kidding me? Like, I thought it was good theatrics. It wasn't anything that I felt was too slow. Hey, look, you spelled my name right today. Good
yes,
job,
I did.
Man.
You're welcome. You're very, welcome. Very, it's not Jin nice. And Chris today. It's actually Gwen and Chris.
Jin and Chris.
Yeah, Jin and Chris.
That might be the new, maybe a new mix right there. We have a new drink that we don't know nothing about yet.
Oh, that would
Jin
be
Chris.
Someone who owns a bar, you have a new drink. It's called Gin and Chris. Too bad I can't drink it, but I'm sure Tony will have one if you ask him to.
Nah, but I think the ABS is going to be – it'll be interesting. I'm dying to know at some point, do teams start to have a strategy behind it? I know in the minor leagues last year, Triple A pitchers were not allowed to challenge. It was only – catchers and hitters that were allowed to. And it's because pitchers are very emotional. If you watch them, they think a lot of things are strikes. I think everything is a strike most of the time. So
yeah, when you said they're going to have one guy on the team that's just not allowed to challenge,
you're not allowed at all.
The first person that came to mind was Madison Bumgarner when I heard that. I was like, that's the guy.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He would challenge everything.
For every pitch. Like, hey, Madison, you don't even have any more challenges at this point. You still asking for challenges, man.
I know. That's a good question I had earlier. What happens?
Is there a penalty to that?
Yeah, is there a penalty? It's not like calling a timeout?
I mean,
when you don't have them,
I don't think so. I would have a hard. It would be hard to believe that they give a ball because somebody asked for it. Like the umpire should know that you don't have any challenges either. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, don't give him. Don't go look if you know he ain't got a challenge. Like, it's, it's pretty simple. Like, I could see timeouts, right, in the flow of the game and in like the heat of the moment. Somebody calls, you give it to him, right?
Yeah.
I could see you not keeping track, but a challenge, I mean, it's like you get two of them. You'd be able to keep track if you use two.
You know that there's one guy in the dugout that's not paying attention, and yeah. He swears they had one more challenge left.
Or you know there's going to be teams that are like, no, we only used one. We only used one.
That is true. For there's sure. going to be some gamesmanship here.
I'm sure. I think it'll be good. I think when it comes, by the time it gets to Major League Baseball, they will have ironed out whatever kinks they needed to, and I think it'll be good. It's not something that I'm like gonna lose sleep over that it's coming to Major League Baseball based on what I saw today. I mean, it wasn't like it stopped the game for a long period. And listen, I think today was probably going to be one of the slower days. They're still trying to figure out how to get it on the board. For like the first two times they cut to the board, it was like a camera that was like on the ground that was looking in the stands, and so they cut to it twice. It didn't come up, and then finally the third time they got it to click on, and it's like, you know how you're watching the U.S. Open and there's a ball close
yes,
to the
yes. I love
it kind of looked like that. It just kind of the ball comes in and it's like, oh, it is a ball, man. All right, you got it right then.
Whenever I think about disasters like on a video board, I think of Chris going, when he's feeling like he's lost control of technology. Chris is not here today, so I can take shots at him.
Yeah, not here to defend himself. Here's Scraby doing his best Scraby version right here.
Yeah.
Let's get to break. I believe we have Gwynn versus the fans next.
We are not going to do that today. We're going to put Daily Gambit there, but we do have some prizes to give away. So we'll do Daily Gambit when we get back.
More Gwynn and Chris on the other side.